Welcome everyone to WFHR's Playmakers. For this April 22nd, 2024, 3:04 on the clock, got your host James J. Pitch hitting today, our main pitch hitter, our main utility player, and our head of production, Mr. Woo. Seth Havager.
I'm everything now.
Yes.
I'm the utility infielder and the great pinch hitter. I love it.
Every time Seth makes a new business card, I tell him, like, Seth, I'm sorry. Actually,
you got to change it again?
I have to add to that. His business card is just one of those things that just rolls out. We want to send a gigantic shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. For all your printing needs, stay local. Head on over to Quality Plus Printing. Keep in mind that they not only join us every Wednesday with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. We'll be talking to Phil this Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. But we're looking for all heroes. We're calling all heroes, everybody. We all know local hometown heroes. Our friends over at Quality Plus want to know those as well. Mm-hmm. Reach out to them. Direct message them on their Facebook pages. You can send the information to me. Just a couple of sentences about some hometown hero that you know, somebody that you think is a local favorite that we'd like to hear more about. Mm-hmm. We'd like to celebrate, and maybe they will be picked and get in on their high school yearbook.
That's right. Win a t-shirt from Wham Incorporated. Yeah.
It's awesome. Find out more and keep it up to date with everything in Quality Plus Printing by following along on their Facebook page and stopping by over there sometime. Seth, thank you for stopping by.
Yes.
We got a lot to do today. Of course, it is draft week. That is all that is on my brain.
I was going to say, there must not be much room for anything else right now.
I should really tell everybody, as a public service note to everybody out there that I talk to, whether it's on the air or off air, whatever we are talking about, keep in mind, I'm paying attention and I am right there with you. But in the back of my mind, I'm already getting ready for the draft. That's what I'm doing. And we're going to have some help doing that today at 3:30. Our good friend Mike Clemens is going to join us.
Yeah.
We'll talk some draft with Mike. Looking forward to that, talking not only about what Green Bay is looking to do, but our NFC North. And I think a fun question and then a fun thing looking forward, these young QBs and how we may have maybe not the greatest, but the top three of the greatest QBs in our group, our conference.
That's crazy.
I want to talk about that along with, you know, any Mike memories that he has. I'm going to call him Mike Memories.
Mike Memories.
I like that.
He's been to a few drafts, I'm sure. So, yeah.
We got all that coming up. Our good listeners out there, pay attention to our local sports and the WIAA. And they had a meeting today talking about NIL. I want to get into that as well.
Right.
I got some fun stats for everybody a little bit later.
James, before you go on here, there's something I really got to say, you know, these millionaire players who, you know, we pay them all this money and then they don't go out there and perform. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Bryce Harper, what are you doing?
Come on.
Just because your wife's having a baby.
Oh,
I mean, come on, man. Now I can't use you on my fantasy lineup tonight. I'm telling you.
You can't have other kids?
No. You already have other kids. He's got kids.
He's got other kids.
You don't need...
You've been there.
You don't need to be there for this one.
Come on. She's a pro. She... We are kidding.
We are kidding.
We are so kidding. Miss Harper, good luck. Wishing you well. Bryce,
it's wonderful. It's great. I just thought it would be hilarious because you know how fantasy people just get crazy about this stuff.
I almost guarantee that there is a New York talk sports station that is doing that right now.
Yeah,
and they are not kidding.
Not naming any names.
Let's get to the best listeners of radio. Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
You better hope your wife isn't listening.
I'm afraid of Seth's wife.
I hear you,
man. Yeah. What's on your mind today, brother?
Well, it's just that WIAA thing.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, when I saw that, that's just been kind of, you know, I read an article that was on Channel 7, what they wrote on the story. And yeah, they can't use the school's name, the school's uniform. And basically, it's just their name.
Mm-hmm. And we should touch on that just for those that may not be paying attention. I don't mean to interrupt you, Kev, but
that's okay.
Athletes would be able to make money solely based on their name, image, and likeness, not for the team that they play for. They'd be able to represent themselves in things such as commercials or advertisements. There is a lot of gray area to this, and there is a lot of not enough detail in this proposal as it is. I know that the WIA met today. They, as far as I could tell online and from the reports that I could see and few people I know that I could talk to, the meeting wrapped up around 1 today, and I have not seen the results yet from this meeting. Have you, Kevin?
I haven't seen nothing yet. Usually I would, you know, because with following the news medias and stuff like that, they would, if that, this would be breaking news, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I would think so.
So, I mean, obviously they haven't put it out there yet in the press release, but, you know, I see it in the college sports with the name, image, and likeness, because the amount of money that these colleges make on these kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, I get that. High school?
Yeah.
The schools don't make money on any sports. They look how many sports programs are on the brink of failing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, obviously this would probably benefit, you know, if they, this passed, this would probably would benefit more of the Madison, Milwaukee areas, the bigger schools, the bigger areas that have the media to use mm-hmm. these kids for commercials and things like that. But I think, you know, just like what happened with NCAA, you're going to open a whole can of a box of worms, and it's going to get worse, because what's going to happen? Ooh, a kid here in Central Wisconsin is very, very good. Well, let's have the schools from Madison come up and say, why don't you move down here, and we'll find a place for your mom and dad to work. We have an opportunity for you to get on commercials, you know, even though they're not supposed to do it. But what happened in the NCAA? You have all these boosters that are funneling money into these programs so you can bring these kids in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a scary thing.
I've been talking to a couple of people over the weekend about this a little bit, and I had somebody say to me, because I was very early on a big supporter of NIL before they even had the initialing of it, before anybody was really giving it an anagram to it or anything. I've been fighting for this since I was in my teens. I've thought this was something that needed to happen in college athletics. Let's also understand, I think, as adults, that this was always going to happen. It was always going to bleed into high school. It was always going to happen. You've had kids being recruited in sports from all ages for a long time. 16-year-olds getting signed to baseball contracts. Young kids getting signed to being looked at by the Dallas Cowboys. These stories that we've heard. And let's be real as adults as well, that athletics is money. That the reason we have athletics on the level that we do is money. It's not because of fans. It's not because of our love of the game or any of these things. It's money. And that's what it all comes down to. All of that being said, when I was talking to some people who really are intelligent on this subject and know what they're doing, talking about it over the weekend, I was called a hypocrite because of how I believe on the NIL, but how I disagree with this for college, for high school athletics. And my conversation with them ended within 5 seconds because it is apples and oranges. Mm-hmm. It is two incredibly different things. Yep. When we're talking about young men who are 18, and therefore adults making decisions with their future and their name, image, and likeness, it isn't that different than them making a post on social media and putting it out there. Mm-hmm. These are life lessons. You got to learn not to hit send sometimes. Maybe you learn not to sign that contract or what a contract really means, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But everything about life is being built up to that. And we already, I think everybody, that we've been saying this long before any of us were even alive, oh, kids are growing up too fast. They were saying that in the 20s. They were saying that in the 30s.
Yeah.
And we're still doing that. I think everybody has also seen, either maybe it was your dad, but it was a dad that you saw while you were playing athletics that was living vicariously through his kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just about him. It wasn't about the kid. And those dangers of that. The moment we take the eye off the ball, and it becomes not about the game and playing for your school or any of these things, but all of a sudden it's about, well, I'm banged up, I'm a little hurt, but I do have this NIL contract I have to fulfill, so I got to go out there and play. And then maybe a young athlete is. These are all what ifs.
Oh yeah.
And there's no concrete thing here, and there's no concrete proposal, I think, yet. Because regardless of nothing's been reported yet, I can't imagine that this has been okayed. It's too gray. It's way too gray.
There needs to be very specific language for this, yeah.
Yeah, I don't do this very often, but I did actually read the proposal, and it's way too gray.
Broad,
broad, it doesn't seem like they... It honestly, and I don't take this, it's so easy to take shots at the WAIA, and I'm not trying to do that at all. It feels like it was thrown together.
Mm.
It does not feel like it was put together. It almost feels like a cut and paste job. I deal with this with students sometimes. And I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm not at all trying to call out the WIA. I welcome them on the air. I've asked them to join us on the air, representatives of them before. Mm-hmm. I would love to be able to have a conversation with somebody who really knows what they're talking about, unlike me. I admit that. But I do know people. I do know athletics. I grew up in this. I know this. Mm-hmm. And I know one thing about young athletes. They don't know anything. I don't care if it's LeBron James at 16 or it's my brother at 16. That's a 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in charge. Their hormones are in charge. That's it. Let's be real and honest about this. And the idea of them being assigned to these things gets awfully dangerous. And we, regardless of if you agree with this or disagree with it or whatever, I think we can all agree we've got to ask questions. We've got to really we got to hammer this out. It's got to be detailed. There is no gray area. We figure this out because unlike, again, college athletics, apples and oranges, adults, kids. That's the conversation.
Right.
And as soon as I said the difference of adults and kids, the person who was fighting me back on this just kind of laughed and took a drink.
Very nice. I'm with Kevin. I'm with Kevin on this. It's the money thing. It's because there is so much money in college sports. That's why I think, yes, the players should be able to do that. But that's not the case with high school. It's very different. So I'm 100% with Kevin for that. And then a lot of the stuff that you said, James, especially the part about not about it being there being too much gray area, that needs to be worked out because then it's ripe for who knows what will happen.
Go ahead,
what
Kevin.
You were talking about when I was reading that article that was brought up last year or a couple of years ago. There was 70% disagreement. Now there's 70% agreement on this, or it kind of flip flop. And then there's other states that do this. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the old adage? If Jimmy jumps off the bridge, are you going to jump with him?
Yeah,
you know that type of just right. Because there are other states. I mean, let's use Texas as an example. Look at the amount of money they stick into those football programs in Texas high school football.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You know, they make money down there. From boosters, I mean that's where that is at. You know, I don't really think we need to do it because I think it's gonna tarnish high school sports in the state of Wisconsin. I really believe it. It's gonna make it worse for these some of these officials because, like you said, Jim or James. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. You can call me anything you like, brother. You keep calling. But, you can call me anything you like.
But if you think about it, look at some of these parents with some of these officials. Now you start putting money involved in this. Yeah. What's going to happen? It's going to be the disrespect for the high school officials even more.
Yeah. That's what I mean. There's so many angles to this, so much, and we've just touched on a couple of them here.
Yeah, this is just part one of this conversation.
Yeah.
Tune in to next week for part two and part three. This isn't going anywhere.
No.
And hopefully I mean, if they're listening to us, that's really cool. But hopefully they are listening to the parents, to the kids, and they can come up with the right way to do this. Because I do think something's going to happen in this regard. I don't think that this is going to go away. It's just doing it right. And doing our best to make it not lose the essence of high school athletics, not lose that, so that we're all of a sudden starting to watch our local grade schools and everything because that's the only place we can go to see pure athleticism anymore. I will say those Washington Wildcats, not bad. Keep an eye on them.
I would direct everyone to James will know what I'm talking about to an episode of Mr. Show from the mid '90s. Where Bob and David are playing recruiters for college basketball teams, and they're literally recruiting toddlers. We're getting closer to that, like every day.
It's been a thing for a long time. To the point of what we're talking about with these universities, we'd all agree that UW, University of Madison, is our biggest school here in Wisconsin, one of the biggest in the Big Ten, and in the Midwest. I don't know if you would put it on the caliber of some of the upper echelon universities. I'm not talking about athletics. I just mean the university itself of how much money it makes revenue-wise. Looking at a 2021 report here, the program revenue-wise, they pulled in $273 million. That's a couple of years ago.
Wow.
That's the university. Now, they have a budget that's over in the billions.
Right.
And they've got a lot of teachers and a lot of other things to pay for and everything. But this is a old, this is an old report, and this is just giving you a broad example of the kind of money that these universities bring in. Let me pull up how much Lincoln pulled in. You know, yeah. I mean, come on. Right, yeah. Come on, man. It's not, I don't have to. Right. It's not. It, yeah. So it's so completely different, along with the fact of kids and adults and these other conversations here. It's our job as adults. Our number, if not our number one job, top three jobs to protect children, not just your own, not just the kids that are coming up or anything, but kids. It's our job. This is our main goal as adults. No matter what other things you do as a profession, I don't care what you do or if you have kids or not, your job is to protect kids. If a kid comes up to you and says they can't find their parent or something like that, are you going to say, well, no, you're on your own?
Yeah, tough luck.
Yeah, tough luck, kid. No, no, it's not. No, it's our job. And this is part of that, making right decisions for them in things like this.
Until they can make their own.
Right. Yes, right. They can make their own. Yep. Unless they disagree with us. Yeah. Then, no, no. are you excited about the draft this week?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, I heard some conversations with Goody and stuff from his presser today, and you know, obviously he's not going to give much up. But I'm just kind of wondering if the top safeties start going faster than when he thinks, if he bundles that 25th pick and maybe his second pick in the second round to try to move up to get that kid out of Iowa, that'd be kind of cool. Because I mean, that kid's been pretty much linked to the Packers, for quite a while.
That kid's a Packer or a Patriot. I'll tell you that right now. He's a Packer or a Patriot. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just kind of curious and see where he goes. Like I said on his presser today, he didn't really give anything up on what he's looking at and how it goes. And he said he's got his first 15 or whatever 15 picks on there. You know, he kind of figured where they're at and things like that. But I'm excited to see what happens. I hate to say it, James, but I think your Bears are going to make a big mistake. Mm-hmm. I am not a big fan of Caleb Williams. I just don't think he just kind of reminds me a little bit too much of like Johnny Manziel, but he's got a little bit better talent than he does. But it's just the head case on it that I.
And that's the thing I like about him is between the ears. Between the ears, everything about him I like, and that in his heart. But I think, Kevin, you're actually you're doing something really smart here. You're getting ahead of the disliking on Caleb, because he's gonna give you a lot of reasons to dislike him, I think, as a Packer fan. That's the closest I can do to trash talk.
That was elaborate.
That's as close as I can get. And look at how the how far I had to be able to go to get to it. And he's not even laughing at me.
That's good stuff.
He doesn't believe me. He doesn't. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. We're going to talk with Mike Clemens about that in a little bit. Real quick, before I let you go, it is NBA playoffs. We got the Bucks going on, and we're going to be covering the Bucks here at WFHR. As far as they go in the playoffs, we will have Bucks basketball. Got them on tomorrow at 7. Obviously, you go into this with a banged up Giannis. You don't have the team that you had hoped for. It's been an up and down year. Do you have expectations for this team? Are you excited for the playoffs with the Bucks? Are you even paying attention?
Well, I hate to tell you, James, is that I'm not a real big fan of the NBA. It's just the guys going up and down the court and shooting the three ball. I mean, that's just it pretty much showed yesterday, especially. Well, if you're making your shots, that's fine. In which the Bucks were doing last night. I was at my girlfriend's daughter's last night and watching with her fiance, and watching Dame hit scores 35 points in the first half and not scoring a single point in the second half. Just because it's a Wisconsin team, I hope they do well. But the way the season's been with these guys up and down like they have, and with the amount of talent that they have on that Bucks team. The expectations, I guess, with those guys were supposed to be the NBA championship or bust, and I just have a feeling it's going to be the bust.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, if they get out of this first round, they probably don't make it out of the second round. It's unless something changes, because it's hard. Don't think they're... It is.
Yeah. It's hard to argue that. I couldn't, all we ever ask is an honest answer, man. So that's all that matters, is you give us an honest answer. That's one of the reasons we love talking with you. You did set me up. You set me up perfectly, though, for my stat of the show.
Oh, great.
My stat of the show. You set me up perfectly, man. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Do we need to let you go? You got to get going?
Yeah, but I'm going to get going. So,
all
yeah,
right. Thanks for the call, brother.
you guys have a great afternoon.
You too. Next week, part two of that WIA conversation about NIL.
Yes.
The all-time points leader in the NBA. LeBron James just recently became the all-time points leader in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, of course, for all of our existence, Seth, pretty much,
yes, was
the all-time leader in points. Let me just go ahead and tell you really quickly, all the three-pointers Kareem Abdul-Jabbar made in his career. One. In 1987, Kareem had a three. That was it.
1980, that was like towards the end of his career, too.
He went 1 of 18 in his career from the three-point arc.
Since he took 18 shots?
18 threes.
How many of those were buzzer beaters?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's got to be some part of that. Question. I want to know.
That's a good question right there. Yeah, yeah. I could not get, I was so curious to see it, everything. I'm like, well, you know, because now we're seeing, it's nothing to see. Ever since Dirk, it's nothing to see a 7-footer go back and hit from the arc.
It's commonplace now, yeah.
The Golden State Warriors completely changed the way this game has done now, to Kevin's point, where guys are jacking up. What's a bad shot anymore? You know, well, it's insane. It's insane what these guys are. How good? What the thing is about this that they didn't just change the game is that the players changed with it.
Yes,
we're not really giving credit to the evolution of these athletes.
That doesn't happen very often.
And
I don't begrudge people often.
But it doesn't happen very often.
No.
Where you can elevate to the game.
Yeah,
everybody saw Bo Jackson run the wall. And center field. That very next day, there was 14 center fielders on the injury report because they were trying to do it. Nobody's tried to do it since, pretty much. Jose Canseco ran through the wall.
Yeah. His head could take it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's take a call. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Hi. I just had to call in with my draft memories. This is Melissa Kay.
Hey, Melissa. Thanks so much for joining the show. Yeah, let's hear your draft memories.
Well, I just had to look it up, and the NFL draft was created in 1935 to establish competitive balance. I had to look it up, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I actually the nerd in me loved hearing that. I don't think I knew that. That's awesome.
You taught him something.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
And looking back at the top draft picks, I choose Hot Rod Hundley.
Oh, good name.
That is an awesome name.
So that is a draft we could have a lot of fun with, that you don't even need to know these players. Just picking best names.
Nicknames. Yeah, Wizard White. Yeah, Wizard White, man.
Ed Too Tall Jones.
That's Too Tall Jones, yep.
I am a sucker for Walter Payton's Sweetness.
Sweetness is good.
Sweetness is a good one.
How about the Stork? Hendrickson.
The Stork. That's good. That's good.
Melissa. You guys, I just had to call in because I said I would, and Pam reminded me. Thank you, Pam.
You are the best. You are so good. I love you, Melissa. Thank you so much. That was awesome. That was great.
Oh, man. A first. A first for Playmakers.
Yes.
Man, Melissa called in and actually gave us some information we didn't know.
I'm telling you, that was fantastic. Yeah. That was fantastic. I wanted to make sure to get this in before we wrapped up. What a better segue than going from talking to Melissa. A shout-out to Nelly Korda. And Nelly Korda, the LPGA, won her fifth in a row.
Superstar, man.
She is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
She is incredible. I am not going to lie and say I watch a lot of golf or anything like that, but I do. I have caught the women's game a bit over the years, and the men's game too, but Michelle Wee and some of these athletes.
Oh, yeah.
Annika
Sormstim.
She was good too. And this Korda, just a lot of fun to watch. I like the way her approach to the game. I like the way that she plays it. She's been a lot of fun. Congratulations to her. Let's take one more call before we go to break. Good morning, you're on the show. Or good afternoon. I knew I was going to do it at least once.
It is afternoon, ain't it?
Yeah, it is.
I'm mowing my lawn, so, but I wanted to comment on, you know, I'm retired, and I was going to get Badger season tickets for basketball, but we just lost half our team.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so I understand what college wants to do, and these kids deserve to make some money, but I think they need to put a cap on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and that's the transfer portal, too. Yeah.
How are we going to compete?
It's the Wild West right now. Yeah, absolutely. It's the whole reason we have a draft. You know, right? It's why you can't just let the Dallas Cowboys go out there and grab every player they want. It's why we have drafts in sports and everything. Mm-hmm. It's a very good statement, sir. Appreciate it. And thanks so much for calling in.
The thing is, though, you know, the one thing is football, we have a salary cap, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we don't have that like in baseball.
Right.
I mean, in baseball, the Dodgers infield makes more than the whole Brewer team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And yeah, the Brewers have a better record.
What's wrong with that? I mean,
yeah,
it's just sad. Yeah. I mean, it's just sad that, you know, you as a, so put yourself in that position as a coach, and you get a guy and you recruit him and you give him a scholarship and he's with you for a year. And then the next year, I mean, he decides to go because now he can get all these endorsements and you put your time and money. I mean, is that right?
Well, and I agree with you. Agree with you. And it gets just as heartbreaking when that kid's from Chattanooga and he decides to go to UW. I completely agree with you. It's the toughest part. It's one of the toughest parts of this. And this is the growing pains we're going through with this.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get on this stuff long before any of us were alive or anything like that, like they should have, we're paying for it now as fans and as just people that take in the game. And people like our good caller here are not even getting season tickets or getting tickets to games or anything like that. Right. We have to get to break, sir, but I do appreciate the call. Good luck with the mowing. Good luck. Good on you for doing it, man. Good on you. It's a good idea. This is a good day to get it done, man.
Thank you for taking my call, bud.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later, man. And yeah, great day to get out there and get that done. I think I might need to do that, actually, before the sun goes down.
Before May.
Yeah.
So before May.
Yes, before May. We're going to get out. We're going to go ahead and check in with our partners real quick. We'll come back talking sports with Mike Clemens on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James here with you, and proudly joined right now by our friend Mike Clemens, talking some sports. Mike, before we get to you, I want to go ahead and play that sounder that you sent over to us from Packers GM Mike Gutekunst, just to get our conversation started here.
I think whenever there's discrepancies, whenever you're not sure, you go back to the tape, and that's going to be your best predictor of future success is what they've done on tape. You know, so that's kind of what we live by. Again, it's all important. It all factors in. But at the end of the day, it's you got to be able to play this game and not play it at a high level in college, but be able to translate to our league and play it at a high level here.
Again, Packers GM Mike Gutekunst, Brian Gutekunst talking there. I got a mic on the phone. Mike's on my mind, I guess. Good to have you with us, sir. How you been, Mike?
Please don't put me in charge of picking Thursday night.
Just gave a hot flash right there. It's too much. Too much. Appreciate you joining us, Mike. Let's go ahead and dive right into what Green Bay might be thinking. I think most of the experts, a lot of the pompadour, Mike, Mel Kiper himself, talking about looking at DB, some of the safeties out there. What are you hearing?
I'm not hearing anything because the Packers won't tell you. But, you know, I just know that I've been through this. You know, there was a year, maybe 12, 13 years ago, where Ted Thompson, you know, the sly, slow poker player from Texas, was up there at the podium a few days before the draft got underway. There was a guy that you might all know that's in the media, is a great reporter and does a great job, but then, I mean, like Lucy setting up the football for Charlie Brown, this dude would fall for it every year. That just the right person that's like 1 or 2 degrees away from Ted would call him and tip it off and say, "Hey, you know, I got to pick at the board," or, "You know what? You know who they're really talking about." Like one year that they did it was to get the attention off of AJ Hawk because they were picking fifth or sixth, and it's not, you know anybody can figure out the first 10. Mm-hmm. And so trying to get him off the scent, they say, "Oh, they're looking at this tackle, you know." And then they go and get A.J. Hawk again, and they kind of embarrass this guy because he kept on, you know, tweeting it out and put it on. Hey, sources tell me the Packers are really high on this guy. And they would. And so somebody said, "Do you guys do that? Do you do that sort of misinformation leading up to the draft?" He says, "Yeah, there's some subterfuge every once in a while. And you look that up in the dictionary, it says, you know, subterfuge, deceit used in order to achieve one's goal.
Perfect word.
And so today, someone brought up that old story to Goody, you know, who is a disciple of Ted Thompson, and he said, oh, yeah, it's going on right now. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So this, you know, and I even going into this morning's presser, which lasted almost an hour, I'm on the elevator, and one of the beat guys goes, well, welcome to the most useless press conference of the year. And I was like, you know, dude, don't be so cynical. Maybe you need to work a little harder and work at the questions. So
yeah, yeah.
I waited for all of the kind of anticipated questions, and there were some good ones. And based on every hours that people have spent searching mock drafts or scouting reports and those kinds of things and what else is going on in the league. And, you know, Brian, another page from Ted Thompson, he comes out, you know, about this time of the year, says, hey, first of all, I want to thank my department. I want to thank, you know, John Eric Sullivan and Milton. He names people by names and scouts and all the hard work they put in that's going to culminate to the start of first round Thursday night at 7 o'clock and on through the weekend. So about 20 questions in, which is usually when he kind of loosens up the tie a little bit, I said, let me ask you, what makes your scouting department one of the better ones in the NFL? Or is it? See, so that's a fair question.
Yes.
That's not a heckler question from some guy on Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his reply was, well, first of all, there's a lot of good scouting departments in this league. It's a very competitive league. But you know what? I'm going to say our process. And there's no question about it. If you got into the, if you're a 25-year-old guy with some smarts and some potential, and you get into that scouting department, you're going to learn the stuff that Ron Wolf brought here over 30 years ago from his years with Al Davis and the Raiders and a time with the Jets, and then, you know, refined by Ted Thompson, who was a broker, a financial broker, before Ron hired him, to basically say, you, here's your checklist. When you go out on this call, when you go to Madison to the pro day and you talk to four or five Badgers players, here are the questions you have to get, whether it's vetting for character, the measurables, you know, give me examples of this. It's a form that you've got to fill out and boxes that you have to check, and you have to be a detective and talk to coaches and the kid's pastor and his counselor and all that to make sure you're getting the whole picture for that profile, and that's what leads to the success in the draft.
Mike, do you think that part of that came out of necessity? You know, long before number 92 Reggie White signed in Green Bay, the Packers would have to make really good on this scouting because that was, and still is in some ways, the heart of the team. And I think you can make that argument with a lot of NFL teams, but not a lot of NFL teams are the smallest league in sports. Mm-hmm. So long before you were able to bring in free agents and some of these things, the Packers have a history of having to be being good at scouting because they had a necessity.
Right, and you have to stick to, you know, not being swayed or flashed. I mean, sometimes you felt like, all right, Ted, great job. You got a bunch of Boy Scouts, but, you know, they're all average football players, right? And maybe you need a little crazy. On the other hand, you know, you don't want your star rookie wide receiver racing down the Dallas freeway in a Lamborghini causing a car accident. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that's the fine line that you're trying to find. And I think that the real key is this, is once that kid gets here to Green Bay, how hard is he going to work? We expect him to be just so at a certain level as a rookie. Where is he going to be 3 years from now? Is he going to work at the weight room? What has his ascension been so far through high school and college? And can we project that he's going to even triple that effort once this is his full-time job? And that's really the key, is to find those guys that are hungry and keep trying to improve themselves.
Is there a position that you would look at stronger than most, Mike, with those first couple of picks? Is there somewhere you'd like to see them go?
Well, the Packers, like around 25 in the first round, they had a tremendous draft last year, James. I mean, my God, they took 13 players. They traded Aaron Rodgers. Matt LaFleur is like, what are you doing? I mean, okay, so we trade Rodgers, but, you know, you just get, you got rid of tight end Robert Tonyan, and Mercedes Lewis is gone and all these other veterans are gone. And then you come out of the draft with 13 picks. Like, how am I going to teach all these kids? And I'm running kindergarten in the NFL. Well, and then I asked Goody about that. I said, my God, you know, you had 13 picks. 11 of those players played significant time last year. Like Carrington Valentine filling in a corner, right, when Jair was injured and suspended. And I mean, on down the line. Even Malik Heath, an undrafted guy, significant playing time, come up with big plays at wide receiver and on special teams. And in Indianapolis, Goody said, you know what, they had to by necessity. But, you know, you just sort of threw them in the pool to see if they could swim. And by week eight, just like the quarterback, it's like, all right, now they're making less mistakes. Now we're getting on a roll. Now we're beating the Lions on Thanksgiving. Now we're rolling Dallas in the playoffs. And look at, you know, at the potential and the promise they have going into this season. So now he goes into this draft the other night, and or Thursday night, and in terms of need, you know, at first you might say, well, it's safety. So they went in free agency and got the Xavier McKinney, 24 years old, out of the Giants. He ends up being the highest paid safety at his position in this year's free agency. The Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Made the highest in safety. The second was Darnell Savage, who got the highest contract with the Jaguars. And Doug Peterson was asked, why don't you take Savage? He goes, because we think he could play in the nickel slot. We think he could be up in the box. And it's like, okay, did you see him against the Buffalo Bills? Josh Allen? Okay, good luck with that. So in terms of need, maybe safety. And maybe offensive line, because there's kind of a rumor that they want to take their right tackle, Zach Tom, and move him to center, but that means that they're probably going to have to use that first-round pick on a right tackle.
Mike, is there anything sports-wise on your mind you want to touch on before we let you go?
No, just that I thought it was very interesting today that in terms of the Packers, you know, the veterans were here all last week for these individual meetings they have. And he's asked about Jair Alexander, and he claimed he's in step. He's going to be here for the offseason programs. He's all set to start with his new defensive coordinator. So that's huge for them. And then the other one is just what the Bucs pulled off last night. Losing, you know, four of the last five, but they put it together to beat the Celtics at home. But they lost Giannis with that calf injury. And now even with Giannis out last night, they pulled off a dominating win over the Pacers, thanks to Damian Lillard just teeing off of 35 points in the first half. So they you know, the odds makers had the Bucks losing last night. They flipped the cards that way. Now let's see if they can retool and come up with even more adjustments to their game plan. Let's just see if they can take out the Pacers tomorrow night in game two of the best of game series at Fiserv Forum.
It was a fun game to watch. I'm a big Dame fan, and it was pretty fun to see him start that game that way.
And there were some Packers there, too. I saw Jordan Love there with A.J. Dillon and some other guys sitting there watching the game.
I don't care how old I get. I hope I always get a kick out of seeing that.
I love it.
Athletes from other sports supporting each other. I love seeing that. We love talking with you, Mike. We'll talk again real soon. Safe travels out there. You take care, and thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, James. Thanks, Seth. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Mike Clemens joining us here on Playmakers at WFHR. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and have some more fun on the show. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James here with you. Thanks for being brought to you by Quality Post Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Big thank you to them for the sponsoring the show. A gigantic thank you to our friend Mike Clemens for joining us. I got to let the audience know, a little look behind the curtain here. I threw this at Mike. It's like Saturday. I was like, Mike, I want to talk about the draft. And Mike was like, okay. And he just joined us like that. Like,
that's just like that,
man. Yep. That's pretty cool. Thank you for pulling the audible off with us, Mike. It is a team sport, so we appreciate our teammates. Thanks to him for that. He left us talking a little Bucks basketball. Reminder to everybody, we've got Bucks basketball on the radio right this all week long. As long as the Bucks are in the playoffs, we've got
them. Well, we'll be doing the games.
Their games come first as far as programming-wise. As far as we know, that's what we'll be doing going forward. You know, knocking on wood, that's the way it works out and everything. Bucks in action, tip-off at 7 tomorrow, taking on the Indiana Pacers in game two. Bucks are up 1-0. Just want to piggyback off of what Mike was saying there. Those games are won because I think because Dame starts out the way he does and sets the tone. Mm-hmm. He's the best player on the court. He acted like it. And not just on the on Milwaukee side, I mean on Indiana's side too. Mm-hmm. He is the best player on the court. He's right. One of the best players in the NBA, acted like it. But also Chris Middleton doing what he did, Brooke Lopez doing what he did, and a shout out to Bobby Portis, who is in the finalists for Sixth Man of the Year. Mm. Nice work by him as well. That's how you win those games.
Yep.
You hold the line until you get the big man back, you get the deer back, and as soon as you get that wonderful gazelle back, that freak of nature, the Greek freak back, then you're really talking here. Mm-hmm. Because this is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. The NBA has a problem with this, but it doesn't matter right now when you're in the playoffs.
Right. Throw out the regular season.
Yeah, nobody seems to care. Nope. Even the players don't seem to care that much. And while it's difficult when you got a guy like Jimmy Butler, who rests almost all year for playoff Jimmy, and then he's hurt going into the playoffs. Yeah. That's rough. So it makes you wonder, well, how much does that matter anyway? But Michael Jordan played all 62, all every game. Nowadays it's gigantic when Austin Reeves does that for the Lakers and plays all 82 and stuff. It's sports and things evolve. Yeah. And I'm not going to be old man yelling at cloud about it.
Yep.
But it does need to be asked, you know, when these guys get hurt. Here's a guy like Giannis who does play almost every game, mm-hmm. and tries to. The only games he doesn't is when he's hurt.
Exactly.
They don't really rest him. They did rest Dame a little bit, and he got hurt a little bit in the season. So
I'm sorry, James, I was not paying attention. I was just thinking about how great Anthony Edwards is. That's all I was doing.
No doubt, man. Ant-Man. That young man is becoming this. You don't get to see this happen very often. This whole year and this playoffs, I believe, mm-hmm. And going into next season, he is slowly taking over the face of the league.
That's something.
He is slowly becoming that, and doing it for your team.
I know.
Not the Lakers, not the Knicks, not even the San Antonio Spurs. he's doing this for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yes.
How
we got so lucky.
I will admit, I was a gigantic Kevin Garnett fan. Mm. I really like KG, mostly when he was in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So it's not the first time many of us have paid attention to the Timberwolves.
Right.
But that is pretty exciting when you could say maybe the most exciting player in basketball, mm-hmm. is playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's pretty cool.
Well, and it's not just that he's great, because there's a lot of really great players. He's got that attitude. He's got that charisma that can really turn it on,
There is nobody. If I could interview anybody in the NBA right now, they say, James, you got a full – Adam Silver says you can interview anybody as we're getting ready for the playoffs here for your show Playmakers and all that. I love Steph Curry. He's probably my favorite player, one of my favorite players of all time. Would love to talk to Steph. I think that LeBron would be a very interesting conversation.
Fascinating.
Always seems like, no, give me Anthony Edwards. That young man is the best interview – maybe the best interviewer in sports.
That's something.
You talk about even when he was a rookie, he was like this, mm-hmm. but now especially that he's got some clout to his name and all this. I like his way he's playing the game. His interaction with Kevin Durant, a lot of people have been taking some shots at that and saying how disrespectful, all those things and everything. Well, Kevin Durant, I believe, is one of the bigger competitors in the NBA's history, and certainly wanting to get back in game two and show the old man what the Grim Reaper can do. He was laughing at that. He was enjoying it. He had the best seat in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, if Kevin Durant was not in the playoffs right now, Kevin Durant would be playing basketball. That's what he does. I'm worried about what he does after basketball.
Right.
I don't know what that young man is going. And he's still a young man. He's only 35.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to do after basketball because he loves that game so dang much. If he's reacting that, we need to get back to this rule in life. You don't get to get more upset than the person that is actually being offended.
Yeah. Supposedly being offended, right?
Yeah. When did that happen?
Come on.
You don't get to do that. look, if Kevin Durant ain't going to get a big deal out of it, I'm not going to
make a big deal. You can't be offended for someone. I mean, that's just weird. How do you do that?
It's going to be a fun. Anyway. I think it's going to be fun. It was a boring first weekend of playoffs. Don't get me wrong. It was even a little boring in hockey, which is interesting. I don't think it's going to stay that way.
No,
I think it's going to be quite interesting. I did have a couple of interesting news and notes to get to before we wrap up.
All right.
Shout out to Jaromír Jágr scoring in the first pro hockey game at 52, breaking Gordie Howe's record of oldest player to score a professional professional point. It should be noted that Jaromír Jágr did this for the team he owns. He owns this
now
team.
We know how he got on the ice. Yeah, right. But he still scored. I mean,
still shout out to him. I watched the goal, and it's a legit goal. It's a legit goal.
What else?
The fact that he wants to,
he
deserves points for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that nobody's ever going to replace Gordie Howe as the ancient man that you had to drag off the ice.
Right, literally pull him off the
ice. Shout out to Jaromír, you know?
It's cool.
He's one of the greats.
It's fun. I love it when guys do that. You know, that obviously, it's a stunt. I get it. But it's still fun. You know, like when the White Sox did it with Vinny Minoso.
Right.
Or when Satchel Paige would come back in his 50s and throw like three innings. You know, that kind of thing, yeah.
I thought this was interesting. Caitlin Clark is one of the most famous athletes in the world, male or female, and she just got picked number one overall in the WNBA.
Wow.
Well, financially speaking, she is not going to be making that much as an NBA rookie, a WNBA rookie. Mm-hmm. Her salary will be a little lower than most, as you would expect. She's going to be making 76 grand, somewhere around there, her first year. Mm-hmm. Nobody's crying spilled milk over that money. But comparing this to athletes, Victor Wembanyama, the number one overall pick by the Spurs, is making $55 million in his first 4 years.
Right.
In comparison. I hear a lot of people talking about, well, the WNBA, to really prove that women's athletics is where it is going to be, the trajectory and all that, that they have to do it on their own. That the NBA can no longer help with this. That something, a separate organization needs to own that, or they need to go out on their own and all these things. To which Adam Silver is saying, please no. Dear God, no. We can't lose
Not
that.
Now.
Not now.
No.
Not now. Like, they need to make this better. It needs to get corrected. I think that while some of it needs to be pushed, mm-hmm. some of it also will happen organically.
I think both are absolutely right.
But I think we can all take a note of, hopefully we're getting away from the days of a Brittany Griner having to go over to Europe or Russia or something like that and play. That our American athletes can stay here and play here.
And star and be famous and be celebrated for their talent. Let's put it that way.
Here's hoping we're getting closer to that.
Me too.
And athletes like Caitlin are part of the reason. Mm-hmm. Because you can't deny anymore what we're women's
athletes. Well, no, and just it's already made its... She's already made her presence felt. Look at the road schedule for the Indiana mm-hmm. team. They've been selling out other arenas, which is cool. It's just fabulous to see.
And one of our last conversations of the day, and the phone lines are still open, 424-2600, everybody. I had two last things that I did want to touch on. One, if anybody gets a chance, go ahead and try to find the video of the New York Knicks trying to lure LeBron James into New York. It is one of the funniest pieces of video you will ever
Unintentionally funny.
Yes, and it also aggravates me as a Sopranos fan and as a James Gandolfini fan.
I know.
If you watch it, it is some of the worst acting you will ever see by some of the greatest actors you will ever see.
I know. That's the sad part. They were just really not into it.
Shout out to Pablo Torre for finding that video and whoever his team is that helped him find that video.
I'm telling you. I wonder where they got that from.
Man, it is... I never thought in my lifetime I would say that it is difficult to be a New York fan, but it almost is. It's gotten to the point now where you've got generations of kids growing up looking at them as the evil empire and not wanting to play for them, whereas it used to be everybody wanted to play for the Yankees. Everybody wanted to play for, you know, the Giants or something like that.
Who on earth wants whiny New York fans?
Yeah, really.
No. I want the in-your-face, we're going to beat you. New York fans.
Yes.
That's what they should be.
Yeah.
Not whiny. What? Whiny? No.
They need
to be in your face, man. I don't want to hear them complaining.
And if you haven't heard the name yet, you're going to hear the name Hunter Wendelstedt.
Hunter
Wendelstedt. He is a major league umpire.
Sure is.
Who just threw out Aaron Boone, Yankees manager, five pitches into the Monday's loss to the Oakland A's because a fan made a remark and he thought it was Boone.
Oh, no.
A fan said something that really got him. And
right.
He thought that it was Aaron Boone and Aaron Boone, who doesn't need much to go off.
No, he really doesn't. Like, he's been thrown out of many games for his own stuff. Yeah.
Lost his mind. This is the first time in my life I have ever related to a major league umpire. or a major league manager.
Oh, right, right.
I like, it is one of my pet peeves growing up, getting blamed for things I didn't do that my brother or sister or a friend of mine did or something. I felt this in my bones.
Well, Aaron has, you know, some baseball brother. He's, you know, Brett, his brother. I'm sure they had a few things that happened like that over the years.
Probably.
Okay, I just want to say real quickly, there's certain things you can't say to umpires. Like, it's like an immediate ejection, okay? It's not like written in the rules, but it's, you know, certain things you're not supposed to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm guessing that's what he heard. He thought it was Aaron Boone who said it, and that was it. Although 5 pitches in, wow.
That's rough.
Quick. And then he's going to get his money's worth. If he's ejected from the game, I'm going to get my money's worth.
That's one thing I have always related to about a manager. I will say, because you want to, if I'm getting thrown out, I don't think that no matter how good I was at managing the great game of baseball, I don't think I would have lasted a full season as a manager ever under any era, any team you give me, anything like that. Because the first game that I'm thrown out, I am for a half an hour. I'm out there pulling up bases and making. I'm an actor, man. What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to go out there and give you a show. I'm going to make a deal out of this,
man.
I'm taking my jersey off.
You had to study the tape. You need your Earl Weaver.
Yes.
You got to get your Earl Weaver. Your Dallas Green in there. Your a couple other of or Tommy Lasorda was great at it too. So yeah,
this is our homework, everybody. We're gonna have a draft. We're gonna have a draft of your favorite like Lou Piniella's,
like blow ups.
Your favorite blow up managers. Yes. The best blow up managers. I want them next week.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a fun one to get into, especially to kick off the baseball season.
Yeah, it's great.
We're excited about this, and although big shout out to our listeners and to Mike Clemens for joining us. Mm-hmm. And to our listeners' point, you know, maybe the Bears are making a mistake with Caleb Williams or the Commanders with Jaden Daniels or any of these things. To that point,
gotta do it.
The Jets just traded Zach Wilson today to Denver for nothing, a 6th-round pick. That means that all of the 2021 draft picks, other than Trevor Lawrence, that were drafted at quarterback are on different teams now. Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and now Zach Wilson. So who knows?
Wow.
Who knows?
I'm telling you, it's the biggest gamble, but I have to say, you got to do it, man.
You have to
roll the dice. You got to do it.
You can ask me this question 4 years from now, bust or not with Caleb, and I'll tell you again that they had to do this.
They had to do it.
They had to.
Yep.
We have to go, but we appreciate all of you. Thanks so much for joining us. Seth, thanks so much for pitching.
Bryce Harper.
We will hang out with you all next week right here on Playmakers. Be sure to join us from 3 to 4. Spread the word about the show. And be sure to join our friends over at Quality Plus Printing for all your printing needs. When you stop by over there, thank them for sponsoring these shows, for being a part of things here at WFHR, for buying local, supporting local. Mm-hmm. You do the same. We'll be back next week with more Playmakers here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.